and welcome to the RuPaul's Drag Race Recap. You know, I started this intro so many times, I thought, don't screw it up, Brent, don't screw it up. And then I went and screwed it up. Anyways, like I said, this is Brent Wagamon, and welcome to the RuPaul's Drag Race Recap. I am Brent Wagamon. Mike Bloom is traveling this week, but we have two great people to help us break down this episode. One of them, I have to say, they said in this episode that you can really get ahead in life if you have a hair flip and a little bit of an attitude. Let's hear from Liana Boris, everybody.
I just did a hair flip. I know y'all can't see it, but I got that down on a natural brow game on point, so I'm ready to do this.
All right. Yeah, you've been listening to Alexis Michelle, apparently. Not too thick.
Not too sculpted.
Exactly. All right. And because Mike Bloom is traveling, we didn't want to just make it a twosome. You know, three people are much better than two people. And we decided to go out and get a real expert on RuPaul's Drag Race. It's Lita Brillman. I have two girls with the first name L. Go ahead. How are you doing, Lita?
Well, my drag name is Liana Brillman, coincidentally enough.
I wanted to say Liana Brillman. That's what I've been saying Liana so much in my life. Liana, you need to get the F out of my life. Like, that's what's happening here. I say your name too much. All right. I know, right? So I wanted to hear from Lita really quickly. It just now dawned on me how much your names sound alike. That's going to be interesting going through this podcast. And that didn't dawn on me coming into it. I wanted to hear from you, Lita, about this season, RuPaul's Drag Race, season 9, and what you thought about it in general.
Yeah, well, first of all, thank you so much for having me. I'm so happy to be a fifth season replacement for Mike Bloom.
You're welcome.
Very honored. So this season for me has been a little bit tepid. I think a lot of the time, things like Snatch Game or these big acting challenges can be kind of a litmus test for where the queens are at overall. And I feel like I have been generally a little underwhelmed. I kind of like everyone that's here and don't, you know, my eyes don't bug out at a lot of people. And I also don't really root against anybody. And sometimes that can be boring that we don't really have a villain yet. There's like, I mean, we're so far into the season and we're still getting like semi bitchy confessionals, but it doesn't really make me like root against anyone. I'm just rooting against the people who are bad, of which there are still some out there. I'm really loving Sasha Velour, I will say. She is someone who's standing out in my mind, obviously Shea Coulee. But even those queens, I feel like, aren't giving me anything I've never seen before. I'm not sure that Sasha's really come out, even tonight, in an outfit that I couldn't see on, you know, a Katya or an Alaska or one of those other more out there queens.
You know, it's actually really funny that you say that, because I saw a post on Paul's Drag Race diet, where it's sort of there but not quite, like, it's not quite filling, but you're getting the sense that it's RuPaul's Drag Race.
Yeah,
I would definitely agree and disagree. I think I agree in that I don't know who the villain is. Obviously, I have been, you know, viewing Alexis Michelle as the villain, but I don't know that the general public sees her as that. I think you could alternately see Alexis, Trinity, and even Nina, to a certain extent, as the villains of this season, or have villain-esque qualities. But I disagree that I found this season to be very meh. I really enjoyed this season because I see so many possible winners, and I don't like the seasons like Bob the Drag Race's season or Bianca Del Rio's season, where you know who the winner is from episode one. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's just no way around it. There's no way that person's going to go home. I think that I'm looking at all of these queens, and I really do think that if any one of them falls down, that any one of them could go home at any moment. And I don't know that I've really had a season like that in a while.
Yeah, that's definitely true.
Yeah. Cool. Well, we opened this episode with obviously our favorite cuckoo having gone home. And something was said at the beginning of this episode about Peppermint being a lip sync assassin. I don't know if I agree with that, Liana. It was like, I mean, it was a great lip sync, don't get me wrong, but it was one lip sync, and I don't know if she can repeat those moves again. What did you think?
Well, I think it was very fit was doing, right? So from that, you know, yeah. I don't know how much time. I will say that I originally picked Peppermint as my winner because I thought that she had really great performance potential.
Lita, did you think that Peppermint's lip sync last week, you weren't here with us obviously last week, but were you as inspired by it as we were?
I mean, yeah, it was great, but like you said, I don't know, when you see one great lip sync, it's hard to say, like, is this person actually a fantastic lip syncer? Or are they really good at the one thing that they can do? You know, are they going to be able to do this multiple nights a week?
Yeah, exactly. Because there's so many queens who come out, and the first time you see them, like with Detox and her, the way she moved her mouth, and other queens when they do the death drops, and you're like, oh my God, that was so amazing. And then they do it again, and you're like, yeah, I've just kind of seen that before. It's sort of like that comedy show, America's Last Comic, where they do the jokes and you laugh, and then they come back in the next episode and they do the same jokes, and you're like, yeah, but I've heard that before.
Yeah.
And of course, that's the way comedians work, but you know, the general public doesn't really know that. Trinity also says at this point, girl, bye. And I think the funny part was Valentina actually said, girl, bye, later in the episode, which is my catchphrase. And I love that Trinity's pageant side is showing at this point, because she's like, look, that's the way this cookie's going to crumble. There can be only one. I need to win. It's not a time to get comfortable. So are you living for what Trinity's serving, Lita?
Yeah, she's the official messy queen of season 9.
I know, right?
There can only be one. Oh my gosh, I was loving Trinity this episode. I mean, obviously she did such a great job in the acting challenge, but she is, I mean, I really think she's going to be top three, and I'm enjoying her, you know, even given all of her bitchy attitude, maybe because of her bitchy attitude.
Right. And then we also get a confessional from Alexis Michelle, my favorite queen of season 9, saying that she got so many positive feedbacks. Ross said that she's rising up. So thank you, Ross. Thank you. And I love Valentina, where she's like, girl, Alexis Michelle just won a challenge. Get ready, because it's going to be about me, 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 me. And she actually had a really good voice, Liana.
Yeah, I thought that was great. And maybe she could sing in as backup in the Alexis show.
I guess. Definitely. I like it. All right. So well, let's move on. RuPaul comes on the screen after the queens come back the next day, and she says that it's going to be an acting challenge. Now, we have had many acting challenges over the years on RuPaul's Drag Race. You know, there's always going to be one or two. I think you could even make an argument that the lip syncs that they do every season are a bit of an acting challenge, because you're trying to make sure your face is seen. You're trying to do certain reactions to different shots. But the main thing that's different here is that the queens actually have to speak dialogue, and that's going to separate the girls from the boys, or the girls from the queens, so to speak, I think. I always love the acting challenges. Liana, what do you think?
It's not just them being entertaining as themselves, but it's the queens being entertaining, you know, playing a character.
Lita, we're going to party like it's 1993. Were you living for the face crack of the century when, who was it, Farrah said, oh my God, I was born in 93. And RuPaul was like, I'm gonna effing key your car.
Well, I was literally not living for 90210 when it was on.
Really? You too?
I wasn't
How
born
old are
yet.
You?
I'm 21.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Well, let me just say right here that I am 42 years young, and I really lived for the show. I mean, Liana, I don't know if you were a fan of 90210, but I mean, the original one, not the remake, the 2000 version.
Oh, with Sinead Grimes, that was awful.
Oh, my. You guys, like, this show is everything, because it was, you know, all these pretty people going to school. They're all rich. They don't have to work. They're all gorgeous. And you're looking at the people that you're normally going to school with going, why would I want to hang out with you clowns? I mean, I want to hang out with the people on television.
Oh, my gosh. So my sister, my sister watched 90210. When I was 9, I remember thinking, pretty people.
They did have a gay character at one point, didn't they? I want to say they did.
I don't remember.
No, maybe I'm missing. I could be misremembering it. I know. Well, I'm not going to ask Lita, because girl hasn't seen the show at all.
I've seen all of the OC. It's like the next generation
the OC.
Of it.
Yeah, I've seen the OC. It's definitely a cool show. And by the way, I did actually like the 90210 spinoff that they had. It was actually pretty good. But then again, I've always been a fan of Matt Lanter ever since he was on Manhunt, the world's first male model search that they did on Bravo that lasted like one season.
It was actually called Manhunt.
Yes, oh that was the God. Name of it. Yes, and the best part was that they had a real model amongst all of the hot boys who was pretending
awesome.
To be a newbie. And at the end, they revealed it, and he was basically judging them the whole way. So you were like living with your judge the entire way. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Well, RuPaul comes in and says that Peppermint, because she is the winner of the lip sync from last week, is going to assign the roles. Something interesting comes up here where Aja, first of all, she asked, Peppermint asks everybody how they would like to assign the roles, you know, if anything is speaking to you. And I thought it was interesting that Aja at one point said, well, I really love all of them, but my favorites are this and this. And then, of course, Peppermint took that to heart and gave her a different role. And we see the young Aja decide to throw a hissy fit here. Lita, what did you think of Aja? And do you think it's understandable given her age?
I mean, this was just wild because, I mean, even later on, she's saying like that she was so embarrassed about this when, I mean, obviously, she's going to say that when she gave away the role that, you know, Shay just absolutely killed. But I mean, this is so easy to do. Like the old woman, I feel like you can show range without even really trying. You know,
yeah,
there's so much in that character that you don't really have to make choices.
Yes, exactly. Hashtag choices.
Choices.
Liana, I really felt like the queens fell into a trap here. Nina included, Aja also, where they decided to go for the young, pretty girl, you know, the Donna, the Brenda, the Kelly. And it didn't really work for many of them because they were picking characters that were so much like themselves that they didn't have an opportunity to show any range.
Well, first of all, I thought that Aja did a great Nina impression, so that was very good about going.
Should have done her for Snatch
Game. Oh my gosh,
game.
That reminds me of Sasha doing Farrah at the beginning. That was better than like half the Snatch Game performances.
Yes.
But yeah, definitely see where you're coming from and wanting to play a bitchy role. I think they see that as easy. And it's something that they'll be able to excel at. Whereas when you look at the mom, those are the ones and they were probably the least like any
yeah,
of the.
Yeah, like I said, I think they fell into traps here and they didn't really think it through. You know, Liana, for preparing for this podcast, I was going back and listening to old podcasts that we've done just to get a feel for how Mike directs the show. And I was listening to your criticism of Snatch Game from last week. And it comes to mind here with Aja, where I'm watching her and her behavior. And I'm thinking to myself, the lack of professionalism, far too much at this point.
Far too much.
Far too much. All right, so she eventually signs the roles. And just so we all understand who's playing who, especially if you're a fan of the original 90210, I'm going to go through everybody, and then we're going to talk about each individual scene. So Nina is playing the Shannon Doherty, otherwise known as Brenda Walsh. Peppermint, obviously we don't have a boy here anywhere. We have a bunch of queens. So Peppermint is playing the Jason Priestley role, otherwise known as Brandon Walsh. And for this last scene involving the third character, Shay, as we previously noted, is playing Gabrielle Carteris, otherwise known as Grandria Zuckerwoman, otherwise known as the actress on 90210, who was actually 29 years old when she was cast to play a 15-year-old. So that's where we stand coming into this scene. I don't know if you guys knew that.
I didn't know she was that old.
I think Stacey Dash was older than that in Clueless.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. I know. I knew that she was old, and I remember watching the show at the time, and I remember seeing news reports about the fact that she was the most senior of the cast, but I had to actually go back and see. So she was 29 years old at the time that she was cast to play a 15-year-old. I remember, and I totally bought it the whole time. Like, I never actually had viewed her as an adult. So we see this first scene between the three of them, and this is the point where we're actually introduced to our guest judges for today, Tori Spelling and Jenny Garth. Lita, did you like what they were serving? Because I thought that they were actually pretty fun.
Yeah, they were. Their slaps were excellent. Their stage fighting. We'll get to it a little bit later, but their shading of Shannon Doherty on the judges panel was iconic.
Yes. Yes, I enjoyed it very much. Liana, what did you think about our guest judges here?
I love the play fighting, especially because Alexis was just getting so much life. She was the happiest I think I've ever seen a queen ever on RuPaul's Drag Race.
Yeah, she gives us the big wow moments. I love at the beginning when Rue said that your guest judges are going to be Tori Spelling and Jenny Garth, and she was like, "My mind is blown right now." So we see this first scene, and you know, right away, I feel like that you know there's going to be problems. Because you see that Shay is really excelling as Grandria Zuckerwoman, and Nina is having a few problems. We haven't really heard your thoughts overall about Nina Benina Brown, Lita. Tell me what you thought here. What was going on?
I am so conflicted about Nina because I can't stand, like, she doesn't even have that much conflict with the other queens. All of her conflict is with, like, the judges and with Rue, and that is so much less entertaining. I have no problem with good TV from queens fighting with each other, but that's not even, like, where Nina's, you know, rage or whatever is directed, and it's just hard to watch. But I like her drag, and episode one, I was like, wow, she is someone to watch. So I'm kind of conflicted on her. I don't know what was going on here. I think some people just read a line on a page and they like can't understand what it even means. It's like reading like Shakespeare and other language to them. So when she's like, where are all the cool people at this school? It's like she just doesn't even like understand what she's saying, so she can't perform it. And I don't know what that was, but and then she got easily frustrated with the direction, so it was not great to watch.
Liana,
it was like one of those text voice scenes. Your impression made me think of that.
Right? The girl and the boy Richard here blows.
Yeah.
Nina, we need you to enunciate that a little bit more. The girl and the boy Richard here blows.
I even do the hand motion. Blows.
And then I love it when they were like trying to give her direction and she was like, I said that. Okay, I see what's going on here. You know, look, I have to tell you guys that I'm like Lita and I have been a fan of Nina Benina Brown since the beginning. But I'm starting mm-hmm. to step off the bandwagon here. I really am, because I love her. But watching her on social media and watching her on the show, I have come to the conclusion that RuPaul wants Nina Benina Brown to succeed far more than Nina wants Nina Benina Brown to succeed. Do you agree with me, Liana?
Yes, 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 yes.
What does she do on social media? I haven't seen her social media.
She's all over Instagram. She does live videos all the time. And she just seems so dour and down. I mean, there are times where she can be fun and she'll do a lip sync online. But like going into this episode, she put out an Instagram post that said, well, watching tonight's episode at a viewing party should be interesting. And I'm like, okay, bitch, so you're in the bottom two. That's what you're saying. Like, so I was kind of bitter with her that she spoiled it for mm-hmm. me a little bit, although you could certainly see where this was heading at the beginning of the episode, I feel like. Mm-hmm. But still, I didn't love it. And she just seems to have a bad attitude. It's like there's so many people in her life that want to give her support, even her contestants do. And she doesn't seem... It's not even that she doesn't seem to want to accept it. I don't think she is emotionally capable of accepting it. Do you agree with me, Lita?
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely something to that. And I think that's why Rue is so forgiving of kind of her outbursts, because probably Rue sees that as well, that this is some sort of internal struggle or mental block that she has, and her lashing out obviously has much more to do with her than it does with the people that she's lashing out at. But at the same time, you can only make excuses so long. If you don't have a thick enough skin in this industry, like, it's better to get out now.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. All right, so let's move on to the next scene. Here we have Pheromone, who is playing the Jenny Garth character, Kelly Taylor. We have Trinity Taylor, who is playing Jenny Garth's mom, Kelly Taylor's mom, who was famously a drug addict on the show. And we have Sasha Velour playing the old guy from the Peach Pit, Nat. And if you haven't watched 90210, he's like the guy at the diner where everybody hangs out. That's basically who Sasha was. So they have this scene, and I really thought, based on what we were seeing here, that Farrah was going to end up in the bottom three. Liana, I have to believe that you were throwing shade at what Farrah was serving here.
At first, yeah, when she kept messing up the line, just started. Like, no, don't mess this up. But then, I mean, from other people's performances, it became clear that Farrah was going to be able to scrape by and wasn't in the bottom three, I mean.
Yeah, she's playing Money, Darton, or Donna, Marty, some... I love it that she couldn't even get her name right at the beginning.
She can't even say the word quirks.
She can't even say the word quirks. I know.
Is that a word?
I think she said quarks. Isn't quark like the small...
That's a physics word.
I'm thinking it is. Yeah, it's definitely a word. So then we had Trinity stealing the show here, our eventual winner of this challenge, playing Kelly Taylor's mom... Lita, I have to believe that you love this because from where I was sitting, this was reminding me of, you know, the Will and Grace, Karen, or Estelle yes. Getty, Sophia on the Golden Girls. It's the supporting character who is not the star of the show, but manages to steal every scene.
Yes. And the whole time I was watching it, I was like, who is this reminding me of? And then one of the judges said it, Jennifer Coolidge. From Legally Blonde and from yes. other amazing things, just like, oh my God, it just clicked. Like, that was so perfect. And both times they did the scene, in both in the rehearsal and in the final product, I laughed out loud when she said, I'm addicted to speed too. It's right? just so perfect.
Mm-hmm. Liana,
and so
oh, sorry. Go ahead. No,
just
keep going.
So representative of, you know, all of these sitcom tropes where the mom, the actress, is really only like 5 years older than her daughter. And they just kind right. of have that kind of dynamic. I loved it.
Right. Liana, you said you were a fan of Trinity at the beginning of this episode. I have to imagine watching her here made you smile even more.
Yeah, I loved it. And I don't know, it had the washed up mom look down pat.
She really yes. did.
Both in her performance and in the look. Both were great.
And I thought her look was on point. I know that Alexis was trying to clock it with her I know everything about 90210, but I really thought she had that 90s sort of pin-up hair going on there, and I was living for that.
Yeah, I thought it was really fantastic.
All right, so here we have a little bit of a weird scene. I don't know. I think maybe this looked better on paper, and I think some of the queens actually fell into the trap of wanting to play it. I remember Alexis actually asking to play the evil Donna Martin. Valentina and Alexis have a scene where there's a little bit of a green screen action happening, and Valentina, who's playing, as I said, the aforementioned Mona Darton, or the real Donna Martin, she's looking into a reflection of herself, and there's a little devil on her shoulder in the name of Alexis, who is trying to get her to do some things that maybe the virgin Donna, who famously was a virgin on the show for the longest time, wouldn't do. Lita, are you with me here? Like, I didn't feel like this scene really worked very well. There wasn't mm-hmm. a lot of comedy.
Yeah. I mean, the good thing is that at least Alexis Michelle did take direction.
Yes.
Which
yes,
is helpful. But they're just... You know, she says something in Untucked where she's like, oh, you know, I felt like there was so many places to go because the text was just so good. It's like, this may, I don't know. I don't know what she saw in it. But it just, there weren't really any laughs to be drawn out of it. You know, like, I think she did the best that she could with it, but I don't really see how someone could have that role and win this challenge.
Yeah, Liana, I have to think that the only part I know you're a fan of Alexis Michelle. The only time I laughed was when she basically lost her shit and she was like, look, chicky, I said to go out and do some drugs and get laid. Like,
get shrunk at the prom.
Yeah, she really did kick up the bitchy. So you're like the devil. So yes. Alexis really stepped up the shit. And actions looked like in the script, if they knew that it was going to be kind of that close frame shot with the mirror, or, you know, if maybe she had going to look like.
Yeah, I agree. All right. So then we have the last scene. Obviously, they're going to get back together in the end. But the last major scene is between Peppermint, who I said is playing Jason Priestley's character, Brandon Walsh, and Aja is playing Tiffany Amber Thiessen, otherwise known as Valerie Malone, who came into the show during the sixth season and basically was looked at as a replacement for Shannon Doherty. This is the role that Aja really wanted and eventually got with all her boo-hooing, but I don't think it did her any favors based on the results of the episode and based on the results of the acting challenge. What do you think, Lita?
Yeah, it's even worse for her that she
like advocated so strongly for this role and then just did absolutely nothing with it.
Do you know if they like if these costumes were assigned or if they, because this dress literally, like, it was cute, but I feel like I could literally get it online at Forever 21 right now.
I don't know that, and I haven't seen anything on Reddit about that. I'm thinking, I mean, you know, because you don't know what character you're going to play, as we previously noted on this show, like, the production coordinates with the queens ahead of time. Like, they famously coordinated for the Gaga challenge and made sure that there were no repeats of what happened last year on the Madonna challenge for when Lady Gaga got there. Mm-hmm. And they tell the queens, you know, you're going to need, you know, these kind of possible things may come up throughout the run of the show. Please be prepared. However, there's really no way you can prepare for, you know, 9 different challenges. I mean, I don't think that Sasha actually had like a waitress outfit in her bag just waiting to come out at any point. So I'm going to go with that the show provided them. Obviously, they provided their own hair and makeup.
Mm-hmm.
But aside from that, I think that they were probably given these.
Okay, that's a relief. Because that dress is way too basic for a drag queen to even own.
I love it. Aja, at one point, she's saying her lines, and I wish you guys could see me, because she kept, like, putting her hands out in front of her face, and she said, "Yes, we are. We're all gonna go to the same college. We're all gonna work together again." Like, it's just, Liana, I just thought, like, do you not hear yourself right now?
No, she really should have channeled her attitude from earlier when she was bitching about the part, used that in the actual skit.
Right. All right. So we get to the end and they all decide to come back together. I thought that Shay had a really cute bit here, obviously playing up the fact that Gabrielle Carteris was so much older than the rest of her cast. She eventually was revealed to be pregnant, although, of course, everybody who was watching her knew that the entire time. Her water broke. She ran off. And then I love it that they all jumped up. Just like in a regular 90s episode. And can we please give it up? I know that they couldn't use the actual theme song, but the credits that they had at the beginning, Lita, I was living for.
Yeah, it was like Degrassi realness. I loved
yes,
it.
Yes, yes. Liana, like, we should make our own credits and do the hair flip and the turnaround like Betty White on the Love Boat that I like famously. I know, right? So down, we're so down for it. All right, so the queens come back the next day. It's elimination day, and well, a couple of things are revealed at this point. We get to, you know, as Liana has noted, every week on this podcast, we get a very serious moment where it's revealed that Trinity's mom died of HIV. The queens are talking about prom and different things, high school related things, and Trinity lets us know that she never really got to do any of that kind of stuff because her mom was an exotic dancer, which was, you could argue, was in the wrong life. I think that's basically how she said it. And she died of HIV when Trinity was very young. Then Trinity was raised by her grandparents. Her grandma got sick at 16 and eventually died at 18. Lita, I don't want to read her mind too much, but given the way that I feel like Trinity behaves with the audience and her sort of coarse exterior, I feel like that sort of, that experience has sort of molded her into the person that she is now.
Yeah, I mean, I'm certainly not qualified to provide any sort of psychoanalysis, but I mean, it was good to hear that because, you know, as Liana says, we do get these moments every week that provide us an insight into these queens' lives. And I think that Trinity is one of the queens that kind of needs that the most because she is so kind of over the top and she's funny and mean and she's a pageant girl and that's what we know about her and those are all great things, but they don't have a lot of depth to them. So I think, you know, having that humanization of her, I think she needs it more than some of the other queens do for the audience,
Liana,
to really get behind her.
Yeah, she's not very touchy-feely, Liana. I feel like that's the thing with Trinity.
No, not at all. And it's interesting because Sasha, with her mom, cancer that her mom, I assume, from she's a bald queen. It's, you know, Trinity, it's almost like she has taken all these experiences and they've kind of shaped her in a different way, more internally about her attitude than say externally, like Sasha was experienced. So
right. And we also, as Liana mentioned, Sasha notes that she is a bald queen in honor of her mom, who died of cancer earlier in her life. And we also get a little bit from Shay at this point, where Shay notes that she didn't have a very good relationship with her dad. But and I missed the timing on this, but eventually her dad called her up and said, you know, hey, I just want you to know I love you. And you're an artist, and this doesn't matter to me, and I support you. And I have to think that must have been thrilling for somebody like Shay to hear, Liana.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I always hear the story of how ugly a conservative father, not to stereotype, but, you know, dismisses a queen's drag. And to kind of see right. that come full circle where Shay's dad was able to call her and say, you know, I accept you. I thought that was really powerful.
I've heard from Black queens before talk about the fact that they have it doubly hard growing up and coming out as a drag queen because, you know, they have to tell their fathers, hey, I'm gay. And then to tell your father, who I think Shay notes at one point is a military man. And yeah. I've decided to make drag a profession. I have to think that conversation isn't very fun, Lita.
Yeah. And something worth mentioning is that Shay reveals that this conversation, this breakthrough that she had with her father, was also as a result of his cancer diagnosis.
Right.
So that's something that, you know, I have been complaining. I've been grumbling a little bit about how this season kind of is RuPaul's Best Friend Race. But it's the moments like these where that, I think, is a really good thing. And it kind of bonds these queens in a really unique way.
I feel like it's become RuPaul's Best Friend Race because I don't feel like any queen. Well, it's two things. I don't feel like any queen is willing to own the villain role. I feel like they, because of number two, I feel like they're all aware of what happened to people like Fifi O'Hara on mm-hmm. previous seasons of RuPaul's Drag Race, where if you're literally the face of the villainy on your season, or, you know, Roxy Andrews, the amount of hate that you're going to get on social media for taking down some favorites or throwing some shade at some favorites is not something that you're going to really want to invite into your life. Add to that the fact that so many of these queens depend on social media to get bookings, Lita. I feel like that I have always said that if I was on a reality show that I would own my villainy, but if I was on RuPaul's Drag Race, I don't know that I would.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about this before on this podcast. I think we talked about it the last time I was on last season when we were talking about Fifi, but it's just so different because you think like, oh, well, it's beneficial for people to be a villain because it makes them more famous. People like Corinne from The Bachelor or Chad or whatever being the shining stars of their seasons by far. And now they're selling merchandise with their catchphrases on it and people love to hate them. But like you said, on these other reality shows and Survivor, Big Brother, The Bachelor, they go back to their lives as a business person or, you know, whatever their job is. Whereas on RuPaul's Drag Race, this is their life. So if they, you know, show this personality that people don't like and they don't want to pay to see, you know, it could really tank their whole career.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. And I don't blame them. Yeah. I mean, you have to go ahead. No, go ahead, Liana.
Well, you don't have to win RuPaul's Drag Race to win RuPaul. If that makes any sense, because you are trying to market yourself, essentially.
Yeah, yeah, totally, totally. I'm with you. And I feel like that most of the queens this season have been doing a very good job. They're all over Instagram. I follow every one of them. I thought it was interesting after the episode that Nina was getting, you know, somebody who has a lot of followers is Aja. And after Nina beat her in the lip sync, which we'll talk about, Nina said, look, you know, if you have any problems with the fact that I beat Aja in the lip sync, oh, well, take it up with RuPaul. Don't come to me. So obviously she must be getting some flack about that. And even that was pretty tame to some of the stuff that I feel like Fifi got and Roxy got. So I really don't blame them for playing the nice game here. It's just unfortunate that it gives us probably a bit of a lesser fulfilling viewing experience on a Friday night. Okay, so we go to the runway here, and this is one of my favorite runways ever because it basically gives the queens license to do whatever they want. It's almost their best drag, but they also have to have big hair. It's big hair realness, and first one up is Valentina serving us some Donna Summer's Eve. What did you think of this, Lita?
I loved it. And we didn't really talk about Valentina in the challenge, but I thought that she was kind of the exception to these queens playing kind of like the young, just the more generic high school girl roles. I thought that Valentina did a very, very good job. She had a lot of material and she handled it really well. And this jumpsuit is incredible, and the flowers and everything, the Diana Ross, I loved this look.
I love this look too. Liana, first of all, she's right. We didn't mention Valentina in the challenge. I don't think I mentioned Sasha either. Both of them were a little bit meh to me, but I will say the one thing about Valentina is that she succeeded where other queens failed, because she's able to do young and innocent well. Like, that's her go-to.
Yes. When there was a part that was going to be a virgin, I was like, that's Valentina. And sure enough, it was. I was not surprised at all.
What did you think of her runway look?
I really liked her runway look. I thought that the lily pads were kind of flopping a little in her hair. So I wanted that. And that's me nitpicking. Overall, I love the gloves as the addition. So I thought she really killed it.
Yeah, I'll agree with you about the lily pads. First of all, I will note that the show gave us a full runway this time, so I am extremely thankful for that, including all of the clocking and bitching from the judges. But I do agree with you about the lily pads. They looked a little bit, how should I say, not fresh. Like, they looked plastic to me.
Not so Summer's Eve.
Speaking of Summer's Eve.
Yeah. Not so Summer's Eve, I guess we would say. But I did love the hair. I love the fact that she let the audience in on a little bit behind the scenes and said, I'm only wearing four wigs. And I'm like, only four? All right, that's cool.
She really let us in when she almost got her nipples taken off at the beginning of the episode.
Oh, my God. You know, I was going to bring that up, and I thought, wow, that's probably extraneous. No one cares about that. But I'm glad you brought that up, because her line on that is, oh, my God, that hurts so much. Thank you, honey. All right, then we're going to get to someone who is safe in this challenge. And I don't really agree with that assessment. And I want to see what you guys feel like. Pheromone serving some big hair realness. Liana, tell me what you thought of Pheromone on the runway. And do you think that she should have been safe?
I should have been safe, but I think she benefited from having Trinity as essentially her acting partner. So I think that it made Farrah's role important, because Trinity was so good and Trinity was playing off of her. As far as her look goes, I felt very Vegas. Surprised.
Very Vegas.
And it was kind of her going back to her roots of the feathers, the rhinestones. Of course.
Lita, we haven't talked about Farrah a ton. What did you think of her on the runway?
I thought it was fine. I think her wig kind of came off more Founding Father than Dolly Parton.
I was gonna say that too.
Yeah, it looked like a powdered wig, which I don't think is really what she was going for. I don't know, it was fine. I think that's what I've come to expect from Farrah.
Yeah, she was looking a little bit game show hostess to me. Ooh. Actually,
yeah,
I know, right? And I
like,
and that's serving some shade too. There are two game shows, or at least there's definitely one. I think Let's Make a Deal taped in Vegas for a long time Wayne Brady. So serving some Las Vegas game show realness, definitely possible there. Next up, we got Trinity. And I have to tell you guys, I'm just going to take this one first. I was living for this. I don't know how that she got that hair to stand up that high.
A follicular tour de force.
I mean, it was amazing. I mean, like, I think more than anything, I feel like that Trinity and Shay were so good in the acting challenge, and I really think that this is what won it for her. Don't you agree, Liana?
Yeah, her hair was on point, on a big old fluffy point. My gosh, yes. It was gorgeous. Just best of the night for me as far as the hair goes, for sure.
And I wasn't even thinking, Lita, that she was cheating by having another wig. Like, it looked like it was all one wig. Maybe she has a few tracks sewn in there to get it bigger, but it didn't look like any more than one piece to me. What did you think of this?
Yeah, I mean, the hair was fantastic. I honestly felt like the outfit was certainly not my favorite of the night, but...
Oh, really? Okay, I loved it.
It wasn't bad. It just didn't stand out to me as much, especially because we had two jumpsuits. And I liked Valentina's better. It does not surprise me at all that you love this, though, because she came out and I thought Alyssa Edwards.
Yes.
Yes, exactly. It is. It is Alyssa Edwards. And I, you know, she's very into this, you know, coming out with her arms up. Like she did that in the first challenge in the Gaga challenge for the Orlando look, you know, where she came out with her arms up. I think it works well for her. And I didn't love that look. I think it famously reminded us of her asshole when she turned around, like the giant asshole. But she comes out and she's just like, I mean, to me, that's what drag is, when she like walks out with her arms, like, you know, 6 feet wide and hair up to Jesus. Like that was everything that I wanted in a drag queen. Someone who I didn't really love this challenge, and I guess her failing here is probably the reason why Farrah was safe. Sasha Velour. Lita, you said you've been a fan of Sasha. This was supposed to be big hair realness. Did this qualify for you?
I absolutely think it does. And it's something different. Okay. And I loved this look. I absolutely loved it. And I will say, I had the great honor of watching this episode with Ali Lasher. And she said, she said the only two takes I needed to convey were that Sasha's look is incredible and that she's so happy that Michelle Visage is serving old school Michelle Visage realness with her boobs and her hair.
Yeah.
But I think she and I are both in agreement that Sasha looks like a cartoon character. She looks like a Daria character. It's incredible. And I think it fits. I mean, the hair is large. You can't say that it's small.
Yeah, I guess I just want one time for her to give me a little bit like, is it too much to ask? And I know this sounds so anathema to what we usually expect of queens, but is it too much to ask of her to just do what's expected at one point? Like, I mean, she will never give me what I want in a drag queen. And maybe that says more about me than it does about her, Liana.
Well, she, like Ross Matthews says, is on brand. Is on, yeah, like, her literal point, right? And I think that that's what she serves every week.
Yeah.
And especially after, like, the backstory we got about her mom being a bald queen, I thought it was cool to see her come out and still have that baldness, even with this challenge that should, you know, force her to break out of that.
I mean, I guess I can co-sign that. It's just, it's like with Sharon Needles, like one time, and Sharon eventually gave this to me, in fact, very quickly, where I want you to go off brand and give me something different than what you've normally been serving on the runway. And I do feel like that, and I mentioned this earlier, one podcaster who I listened to famously said that Sasha Velour is always relying on that artsy, you know, rather than on her body. She's relying on that artsy. And so, like, I feel like that she would do well just to come out and look glam at some point. And I feel like with the big hair realness theme of this challenge, and basically you could wear whatever you wanted, I feel like this was her opportunity to do so. Instead, she gives us another punk rocker with leather and straps and boots. And I'm like, I feel like I've seen this look before. Now she may not have worn this look before, but I feel like I've seen it before. Do you understand where I'm coming from, Lita?
It's like Kimora Black.
How dare you?
How dare you?
Well, I mean, yeah, I do agree with that. And that's kind of what I was getting at earlier when I was saying that, like, even though she is probably my favorite this season, I don't think she's given me anything that I've never seen before. And that's, you know, kind of my general critique of the season. I just like to see something different and someone who's true to themselves. And it's also easier, I think, to market yourself if you can, you know, kind of explain your drag in specific words. I remember, like, taking my friends who didn't watch the show to see Sharon Needles at the club here where I live, and I was kind of able to say, like, oh, it's like spooky drag, and, you know, you can kind of like sell people on it that way. And so I think it's kind of good to have a brand like that.
I agree. All right, so speaking of game show hostess, we have Peppermint. Liana, this is your winner pick. How are you feeling about it?
Come on. Step it up. My gosh, I don't even know what to say.
Yeah, it was just a little bit of a, it was, a, I mean, the gown fit, I thought it fit well.
Bar is too low.
Yeah, that's true. That's true about that. The hair to me was a miss because, I mean, like, from her perspective, I guess it looked big, Lita, but it, I mean, compared to all the other queens, it looked like a bob on her head.
Yeah, I just didn't understand. She was like, oh, I'm giving this classic look with a fiery flare. Like, first of all, what is the fiery flare? Like, you look so basic. And by classic,
the giraffe print.
Yeah, great. Animal print. Wow, so new. But by classic, I feel like that's almost a euphemism for unoriginal.
Yes, that's what I was thinking. Exactly. All right, so then we have somebody who is been getting a lot of talk, like I said, in social media. I felt like she was going to be in the bottom two. She is in the bottom two. Nina Bonina Brown, and she comes out in, first of all, she's on all fours. Interesting. I like it. She has painted an animal face. She has hair up to Jesus, so check on that one. But on the other hand, she does get clocked for wearing some of the same things that we have seen before. The knee-high boots and the animal print pants and the bustier. Liana, I was surprised that Nina got clocked by Michelle, but I was glad to see it.
Yeah, I like Nina. I like her, you know, cosplay, even though she cosplay aesthetic, but I'm kind of over her attitude. So it's, you know, I was happy that she's, because I want to see if she can, you know, internalize the criticism and actually use it to her advantage.
Yeah, I don't think so. I feel like the horse is out of the barn on this one, Lita. Let me ask you this question. Tell me what you thought about the runway, but also tell me what you think about Nina in general. Like, do you think that what Liana said could happen, that she could actually listen to the criticism and change? Or do you feel like she's going to be like, I know what's going on here. Y'all don't like me anyway. Girl, bye.
I mean, I think she can get better at handling it, but I don't think she's ever going to actually internalize it and take it to heart and put it into action to actually change her look. I don't know. I think the longer this goes on, she's going to be able to outwardly say that she's accepting the criticism and that she's grateful for it. But I don't know that she actually has the tools to change based on it. But yeah, this look was, I don't know. I agree with Michelle on the silhouette. And I am just not a huge fan of the face paint instead of makeup. I don't know. It feels a little bit like a, not a cop out, but it seems kind of like a shortcut to me.
Yeah, it feels a little bit like a crutch sometimes. Yeah. However, I will give her a pass on it, at least for now, because I have seen her come out in non-face paint. So at least I know she can do it.
Yeah.
But I do think that she relies on her hips and her ass and her boobs way too much. And there, as they said about the hair flip and the attitude, there have been many queens in the history of Drag Race that have gotten by on boobs and ass. And so I don't begrudge her for that. However, I do feel like that her look is going to continue to be the same because, you know, we all know that these queens brought a trunk full of things with them. And, you know, it's not like she's going to be able to magically go out and get new stuff. Because the season is continuing on. As far as her attitude goes forward, just based on what I've seen on social media and based on what I've seen on the show and in Untucked, I just feel like that she thinks that she's being attacked. She can't accept criticism. Even when people reach out to help her, she rejects it, or she does it in a way like, well, thank you for doing that, but this. Or, you know, like when at the beginning of the episode where she said, you know, y'all can stop reading me behind my back. And then, like, bitch, that's all in your head. Like, they're not reading you behind your back. You're just making that up. I feel like she wants to be the victim, Liana. And I so hate that look.
Shut your car right now.
Yes, exactly. And then, like, that's the part of her that I love. And I feel like that I wish that she would be, she would get out of the mopey, sad drag queen if she would own the, bitch, I'm gonna key your car. Like, bitch, I'm from Chicago. Like, if she was more that kind of a queen, then I feel like, okay, I'm with you now. Like, if she would, like, listen to the criticism and be like, you know, screw you all, I'm gonna do what the hell I want. Like, I mean, if she would be like that, then I would be like, okay, I don't agree with the tack, but I love the way you're doing it, and I can believe in that. But the way she acts with all of this sadness and victimhood, and it just gets very tired very quickly. We've seen this for like 3 weeks now, and I'm really, really over it. If she ends up in the bottom two again, I think she's going home. I think even RuPaul will have had it at that point. All right, so let's go from... Oh, go ahead. Somebody have something to say?
Well, she hasn't made that turnaround.
Yes.
She's still mopey. I mean, exactly what you said. RuPaul wants her to succeed more than she does.
Yes. I 100% agree. Like I said, if she just would own the fact that she is the kind of... I famously named my draft team on Big Brother Canada Team Cut-A-Bitch. And I feel like if Nina would be like Team Cut-A-Bitch and just be like, I don't care. I don't like y'all. I'm here to do my drag. I'm here to do my thing. Y'all don't like it? Go to hell. Like, if she would act like that. But see, I'm asking her to be somebody that she's not.
Exactly.
And, I mean, I feel like there's an element to her that is like that, but she's just hiding it with tears and boohooing, and I can't get behind that. Okay, enough about Nina. Oh, sorry, go ahead. And Paz and Boobs, yes, exactly. Let's talk about somebody who did succeed and somebody who I really thought...
And Pads and Boobs.
I thought she was going to win again. I really did. Shea Coulee. Lita, this outfit to me was just something that I felt like... I think Michelle has famously said to Valentina at various times, I could eat you up. And I like watching this outfit come down the runway. Like, for Shea, I could just eat her up. Like, it looked like cotton candy. I loved it.
Yes. Michelle said something about how normally she would read her for having the bathing suit and a jacket, but it just worked with her. She just sold it. And until Michelle said that, I didn't even like think about that. I wasn't looking at, you know, the individual pieces of clothing. I was just looking at this attitude that she has. It's just so great. And it's everything that Nina is not giving us. Shea just seems so happy to be there and just really leans into every look that she does. The Slurpee was incredible. I really loved this.
Yeah, Liana, I really love the Slurpee, and I love her padding too. I think, you know, we don't talk enough about this, but you have two different queens who pad in two different ways. Nina pads for the gods. Okay, fine. But Shea pads in such a way that is, you can tell she's definitely padded, but it's not overt, and it's not something that's necessarily going to draw your eye like, oh my god, she's padded. Don't you agree?
Yeah, this is the type of padding that I think if I had to choose fur, because it does look more natural. So, you know, I right. love her for that. I really stand by the fact that I think she's gonna win the entire season. It's been locked for the prop.
I agree.
The Slurpee prop, which we know Michelle doesn't love. So I think it's indicative of her eventual win.
Yeah.
Well, it was like a 90s week. I feel like the Slurpee was perfect.
True.
Yes, it was. It really was. I have to say that coming into this episode, you know, if you guys have been listening to the podcast, Shea hasn't been my favorite. In fact, I feel like that various times she's been overpraised for various things. But this was the week that I said to myself, bitch can win, like literally. Mm-hmm. Like, I see it. It's like her strengths are so diverse and she doesn't have a weakness. She just is so good at everything. I feel like there's nothing they can throw at her that's going to trip her up. She's funny. Like, all of the coughs and snorts that she added to the Grandria Zucker woman were things that were not in the script that I know she added. She had a characterization. She had a point of view. She committed to it. I thought it was funny listening to Untucked, where Jenny and I almost called her Kelly. Jenny and Tori Spelling saw her on the runway, and they were actually relieved that she normally doesn't look like that. I was like, exactly. Like, if this was the first time I saw her, and I saw her as that sort of grandma character, I wouldn't know that it was the same person. I love that the show showed us that side-by-side comparison where you saw, you know, the grandma on the left and her runway look on the right. I really felt like that. I agree with you guys. I thought that was foreshadowing from the show, showing us that this is just another little chapter in Shay's career on RuPaul's Drag Race, showing us why she's so amazing. Don't you think, Liana?
She has versatility, and she's not afraid to be ugly, which I love.
Yes.
Yes, Exactly. That's I feel like that it was so ballsy of her and showed so much confidence in the beginning of the episode where Aja is throwing a fit. And Shay's just like, look, if it's going to cause this much tension, I'll just take Grandria's Zucker Woman. You can have this. And of course, Aja was immediately like, well, I mean, I'm not trying to be like, you know, like, and they were, I love how Peppermint just shut her down. But on the other hand, I loved what Shay did because, like, I literally think she could have played any one of these nine queens and she would have been a standout. And the fact that she got one of the funny, like, grandma, as I said before, like Estelle Getty, Golden Girls type of characters, I feel like that she knew what she was doing when she was making that trade, Lita.
Yeah, I completely agree. And okay, Aja must feel even dumber for just kind of handing that amazing opportunity for her.
Totally, especially considering she went home this episode. Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. Okay, so somebody who I haven't been a fan of, as I've noted, is Alexis Michelle. She comes out in a, as she says, sort of a Ursula look. I thought it was very Helena Bonham Carter at the Oscars, though. I mean, I really felt like this was the one time on the runway where I loved what she was serving here. I mean, the hair wasn't as big as some of the other queens, and the silhouette in some ways was the same, but I appreciated the fringe at the bottom. I loved the fact that the makeup was definitely different. And Liana, I was finally behind your girl for once.
I was living makeup. I at first it looks messy at first, but when you really look closely, I mean, the detail there is just absolutely gorgeous, and the fact that it matches her dress, it was just
Lita, I have to say that you know, let me ask you this question. Do you think that Alexis Michelle is somebody who is someone to be feared in this competition? There was a scene in Untucked where it was Trinity talking about who she fears, like who's her competition.
Mm-hmm.
And she admitted at one point, after Valentina thought it was her, that it was actually Shay and Alexis. Do you feel like Alexis is top three potential here?
Honestly, I was as surprised as Valentina. I know that Valentina is so new to this and she's so underestimated, but if I just from an outsider perspective, I feel like I would be more scared of Valentina just based on the reaction she's been getting from the judges. She really has not faltered yet. So that was surprising to me. I see Alexis Michelle as in the top half, certainly, and has the potential to go to the finale. I don't really see her as a winner. And whether that's the edit influencing me or based on her actual performance, I'm not sure. But I'm not seeing it.
Yeah, I have to agree that I don't think she's a possible winner. On the other hand, this was my favorite episode from her because I remember at the beginning where Aja was, you know, boohooing about the fact that she got the character that she didn't want. And Alexis was like, girl, you're going to have to shut up and buck up, like, you know, accept the challenge and step up. Like, I was like, yes, that is what I want to hear you say. Like, read her, bitch, read her. That's what I want from you.
Yeah.
I don't feel like she is top three potential. I do feel like in this scene that we saw in Untucked with Trinity and Valentina, I really feel like that Valentina was like, so who's the other person who you fear?
Yes.
And she had her face like up to here. And I feel like that Trinity was going to save Valentina, but then when Valentina decided to get cocky about it, that she switched and said Alexis.
That's funny.
Yeah. That's okay. Cool.
I also want to say about Alexis's dress, I loved that it was kind of made out of hair for the big hair challenge. I thought that was very creative.
That was interesting. I don't think that was really brought up either. Obviously, she was safe. She's not going to get critiques on the runway, but it was such an interesting look, especially compared to some of the stuff that she's done in the past. Like I said, the makeup, I remember when she was putting on the makeup and she had all of this highlighter underneath her eyes. And I know that's not how she normally paints. So I was trying to figure out, like, what is she going to do where she has all of that highlighter underneath there? And then she came out and I could not have been more happy with this runway. You go, Alexis Michelle. I'm behind you for one episode. Somebody who I'm not behind is Aja. But I have to say, I mean, I don't know if this qualified as big hair realness. I feel like the star of this outfit for Aja was the outfit itself, was the skirt, was the bodice. Lita, are you with me on this? Or do you think that I am not giving enough credit for the overall look?
Yeah, honestly, like when I think back on it, if I hadn't watched the episode, like,
just last night again, I probably wouldn't even remember her hair. It was definitely more about the outfit. However, I will say, regardless of the adherence to the theme, this was Aja's best look this season.
Yeah, I agree. Liana, don't you think that this was her best look?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I completely agree. And her makeup has improved so much, just even over the course of the show. Now, you know, on social media, I think she does look really great. And that's how queens can take the criticism and can improve.
Yeah, I agree. I think it was first of all, here's the thing. I was surprised that she went home in this episode. I really felt like coming into this episode, I felt like somebody like Pharaoh Moan, who has been relatively weak this entire time, was somebody who could probably go home. And I also felt like Aja was a favorite of RuPaul and the judges, but it didn't seem like they were afraid to lose her. So eventually, the queens come back on the runway. They watch the finished product. It was hilarious. We're going to have three queens who are safe. Alexis, Peppermint, and Farrah are going to be safe. And we have our top three and our bottom three. Sasha, Aja, and Nina are in the bottom three. I have to believe that you guys agreed with this, but I want to know, more importantly, did you agree with the winner of this challenge, Liana? Because eventually it's revealed that Trinity is going to be the winner of this challenge, not Shay. Do you feel like, let me ask you this question. If Shay hasn't won two challenges already, do you feel like that Shay is going to win it here? Or do you feel like that Rue is playing games a little bit?
I thought Trinity was hilarious. So okay. I really do think that Trinity deserved to win. And plus with the hair runway, even if it was a tie going into the runway, I think Trinity better.
Yeah. Lita, what did you think about that?
Yeah. I think that it's definitely fair to say that Trinity would have won no matter what, but I do think that it's possible that Rue, you know, he wants an exciting season as much as anyone. And like you were saying at the beginning, it's not as fun to watch a season where you obviously know who's going to win. So having someone win three challenges this early, you know, that is not necessarily the best TV that just makes someone look like the obvious front runner. So I think there was kind of a double benefit to having Trinity win in that she deserved it. And also it's, you know, spreads the love a little bit.
Right. I'm going to have our famous Rob's fact checker figure out, through seven episodes of RuPaul's Drag Race, has there ever been a queen who has won three challenges? I want to say maybe Sharon Needles. I know she won like the first challenge, and then I think she won the third challenge. I don't know if she won another challenge until later on.
Did Alaska on All Stars?
Oh boy. I know she won three, but I don't know if they were by episode seven. Yeah. I'm going to get Rob's fact checker on that, and I'll tell you guys next week and try to update you on that. So eventually, like I said, Trinity is the winner of this challenge, who, by the way, I had no problems with. And again, RuPaul's making a TV show, so if Shay is the eventual winner, she doesn't want to make it so obvious that it's going to be Shay. So, and Trinity is formidable competition. In fact, like I said, with her runway combined with the acting challenge, I felt like it was probably Trinity by a nose. From my perspective, Shay did a better job in the acting challenge because of all the little things she added. And I felt like Trinity's was just very one note because she got to, and I don't mean that in a bad way. Like, it was very funny one note, but she just got to like say everything that Farrah said in a very mom kind of voice. I felt like that the grandma role was the harder role and the more things that she had add. Plus, she had more lines. So I feel like that Shay won the acting challenge, but the runway to me was all Trinity. Like, bitch is a pageant girl. As I've told you guys before, she won Entertainer of the Year, which is the famous pageant that takes place in Louisville, Kentucky. And I'm sort of so verklempt about the fact that I never saw her on stage when she was here. I'm sure I was probably working that night. But bitch is a pageant queen. She knows how to go out on the runway and get it done. Okay, we eventually find out that Sasha is safe. And I feel like the queens knew this. They knew that Nina and Aja were going to be in the bottom two. We have a lip sync here between the two of them. I'm actually going through the episode. You guys know, remember the name of this, of the lip sync song that they eventually did here? Neither one of you?
Finally.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Oh, yes. Finally. I knew it. I could. Yes. Finally. Yes. Finally, I remember it.
It's happened to me. I love this song.
If I could ever lip sync to a song, I would lip sync to Finally. I just couldn't remember the name of it because this is the song that they do part of at the end of Priscilla.
Yes, Queen of the Desert. That's exactly how I know it too.
Yes, exactly. And I love Terrence Howard when he Terrence Howard. Terrence is it Terrence Mann? Sorry, guys. Or no, wait. Terrence is it Terrence Howard? It's a Terrence somebody. The main drag queen in Priscilla, Queen of the Desert. That's what I'm talking about.
I have
about.
Only seen the Broadway version. I don't know the music.
Yeah,
the movie.
I know, right. That's exactly what I said to myself. Exactly. So they come out and do Finally. Liana, tell me your thoughts on this lip sync.
I was watching Trinity rock out in the background. So I don't know what that says about how I felt about Aja and Nia.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Lita, what did you think of this lip sync?
Yeah, it was not the most overwhelmingly fantastic lip sync I've ever seen, which is kind of a bummer because it is such a great song. That said, I don't think by any means Aja blew Nina out of the water. I think it was very close, but I do think that Aja's was better. My eye was drawn to her a lot more.
Yeah, I think it was very close. By the way, it's Terrence Stamp that was the queen in Priscilla, Queen of the Desert. Terrence Howard is on Empire on Fox right now. My, and then Terrence, yes. I mean, there's too many Terrences for real. And then Terrence Mann was an actor on Broadway. So I eventually got it right. I had to look it up on Google. Thank you, Wikipedia. I appreciate it. I agree with you. I thought the lip sync was actually very close. I think that's probably why Nina's getting a little bit of hate at this point, because I think that a lot of kids, and Aja is followed by a lot of tweeners on social media who think that Aja really won this challenge. She took off that skirt. I know she was talking about it in Untucked, about should I wear the skirt. She eventually decided to take it off. And I just feel like that Rue wasn't going to lose a talent like Nina Bonita Brown, who, by the way, she added more names. I think she said Nina Bonita Brown, Austin Green. Earlier it was Nina Bonita Brown, Bader Ginsburg.
Nina Bonita Ellis Ross.
Yes, Nelson Riley. Yes. I mean, there's just, I never knew there were so many celebrities that had three names. And I love it that RuPaul is like giving us like a total course on it through this entire season. So eventually RuPaul reveals that Nina has survived. Aja is the one going home. She takes it pretty well. I feel like she was a little bit shocked that she was the one eliminated because she feels, well, you know, I mean, it's no secret this season that she feels very highly of herself, but I thought she went out with some class here. She eventually leaves us with some parting words, Lita, that this was a lot harder than she thought it was going to be. She thanked RuPaul for the amazing opportunity, and that was that.
Yeah, and she left Nina some of her clothes.
Yes, exactly. I'm thinking that maybe if Nina can fit, Nina obviously pads a lot heavier than Aja does, but if Nina can fit into any of those clothes, it would probably help her, considering that she got clocked, Liana, on the runway by Michelle for wearing the same kind of stuff all the time.
Yeah, she'll actually be able to change up her silhouette. And or was it an Untucked or the Red episode? I don't remember. But that's why she gave it to her, was so that she wants to help Nina, except Nina.
Yeah.
Yes, frustrating as all hell. I remember watching that thinking, like, you know, like, Nina, I don't even know if she would, like, I don't even know if she realizes how much people love her and her drag. And it's very frustrating when you want to give love to somebody and they seem to not know how to accept that. And I, like I said, I don't feel like that Nina, I feel like Nina wants to accept it. I just don't like, I feel like her EQ, which is like her emotional intelligence, like, I feel like it's very low. Like, she doesn't know how to accept love and acceptance and, you know, support like other queens. Would you concur with that, Lita?
Yeah, I definitely would. I mean, like we've been over, just this whatever emotional block,
right?
She has, like, she just has to get through it if she wants to stay here.
Right. That tells you all you need to know about Nina Bonita Brown, because I asked Lita a question about it. This is her first time on our podcast this season, and she's like, as we've been over many times.
I feel
the same way too. Like, I'm like, I asked that question, I'm like, oh my God, I've asked this question like four
yes.
times. But it comes up again.
It's
like,
so
it comes
prevalent.
Up again at the episode when Aja's leaving her all that stuff and she's like wanting her to do better. It's just, it's very frustrating, and I feel like it's just not a good look in general for her. All right. So that is our recap for today. Do you guys have anything you want to add? Lita, I really loved you being here today.
Oh, thank you. I loved being here as well.
Yay!
I will see you both in person very soon, I believe.
Oh, you are going, you're going to Toronto as well?
I am.
I'm
yes,
going to be
I
there.
I actually haven't asked you, Liana, if you were going to Toronto. You are going to
yes.
Toronto?
Yes.
Oh my God, I'm there for it.
It's our own version of Drag Con.
Yay!
Yes, I'm gonna drag Liana to the casino with me, and we're gonna go. We're gonna go. Like, you can, you don't have to spend any money if you don't want to. But like, perfect. I'm gonna go to the casino and just have a blast. Like, it's gonna be a good time. Lita, I don't have your Twitter. If you could tell everybody what your Twitter is, that would be great.
Yes, you can follow me at Lita Tweeted. LITA Tweeted.
Yes, I remember that now. Yes, it was something else, and then you switched it to that, and I was here for it.
Yes.
Like, I think it works, it rhymes, it's something easy to remember, and you can also follow Liana Boris. And Liana, don't you have a hyphenated last name, too? Like, isn't it, like, Liana Boris Otwe or something, or was that not something that I heard before?
No, well, it's just Liana.
Liana Boris. Okay, cool. Liana Boris. And I was going to do something fun with your last name, like, you know, Bader Ginsburg or Nelson Riley or something like that. But because I love hyphenates. It's very cool. But you can follow Liana Boris at Liana. That's LIANABORAAS. And you can also follow me, Brent Wagamot, at One Lucky Gay. That's one spelled out, O-N-E. And we thank you all for joining us today. If you have any questions, you can tweet all of us, and you can also tweet Mike Bloom, who is at a Mike Bloom type. Mike will be back with us next Sunday when we are recapping, episode number 8, and I can't wait for it. So for Lita Brillman, Liana Boris, and myself, thank you guys for joining us, and I'm going to do hashtag Aja Rocks, because I don't want any hate from her fans out there. So hashtag Aja Rocks. And we thank you all for joining us, and we'll talk to you again soon. Bye.
Bye.